Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Can just give me a thumbs up signal if you can hear me. People can hear me. Okay, great. Okay, so welcome everybody to this YU Torah series. Today is the first of four shiurim that I'll be giving on the topic of Sfiras HaOmer, basically between now and the Yom Tov of Shavuos, Abba Alein L'Tova. And I would like each week to look at some other aspect of the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer, which is a mitzvah that we're obviously in the midst of performing right now in the days between the Pesach and Shavuos. Actually, this week is especially relevant because it appears in the Parshas HaShavua. The mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer is found here in this week's Seder in Parshas Emor, in Vayikra Perek Chav Gimel, Pasuk Tezvav, Usfartim Lachem, Mochas HaShabbos, Meom Ve'echemes Omer, Tnufo Sheva, Shabbos HaTzmimos Tiena, Pasuk Tezayin, Admin Mochas HaShabbos HaShviyas, Tisbur Chamishim Yom, Mikravta Mincho Chadosh Al Hashem. So this is the Mokor, this is the source of the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer in this week's Seder Parshas Emor. Much of the discussion of the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer is found in Maseches Menachos. The mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer is linked, as we'll see, Bez Hashem, today to the Korban Omer, which was brought on the second day of Pesach. The word Omer by itself simply is an amount, it's a measurement, it's a weight. Okay, and so on the second day of Pesach, you had to bring a Korban called the Korban Omer because the Korban included an Omer's worth of barley. That's how much barley you had to bring as part of this mincha offering. Other things brought too. But the barley, part of the offering, was an Omer's worth. So it's called the Korban Omer. And the mitzvah, that's linked to the mitzvah Sfiras HaOmer. And that was a mincha offering. A mincha offering means a non-animal offering, a flour, a grain offering. So it's Maseches Menachos, which talks about it. So it's in Maseches Menachos, on Daf Samech Vav Mer Aleph, that there's much discussion relating to the mitzvah Sfiras HaOmer that comes up in this particular context. So it's interesting, the Gemara says that even though it's clear from the Torah here, in the Pasuk in our Sedra, in Parshas Emor, that it says you have to count Sheva Shabbosos Tmimos, you have to count weeks, you have to identify how many weeks are in the Omer, and you also, it says, Tisbru Chamishim Yom, you have to also count the days, so it's supposed to count days and weeks, which is our practice. Nonetheless, the Gemara records in Menachos on Daf Samech Vav Mer Aleph that Amemar Mani Yom Velo Mani Shuah. Amemar was one of the Amoraim in the Talmudic times. Amemar counted the days but not the weeks because he said the mitzvah today is a Zechel HaMikdash. It's a Zechel HaMikdash. And others disagree. Rabbanan, the Beir Rabashi over there, they say Mani Yom Umani Shuah. And they counted both the days and the weeks, which is more the way we do it. That's how we paskin. Now, there's an interesting machlokas we've shown him at possibly that's the machlokas that's recorded in the Gemara. What is this difference? What's this machlokas that according to one opinion, he didn't have to bother counting. He only mentioned Amemar Moni Yom. He only counted how many days there are in the Yom. He didn't bother mentioning how many weeks and so on and fractions of weeks were going by because he said it's a Zeichel HaMikdash. And the other opinion, which we follow, is that they mention everything. So it could be, it's possible to suggest that this actually is a machlokas as to what the nature of this mitzvah is today in our times in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash. What is the nature of this particular mitzvah today? Is this mitzvah still a mitzvah midoraisa, a mitzvah of the Torah? Or is it nowadays it's a mitzvah midrabanan? We don't have to learn that that's the machlokas in the Gemara, but that is certainly a machlokas among the Rishonim. There are many Rishonim, the Balei Atosos, and many others, the Ran appears in the end of Maseches Pesachim, and other Rishonim there are of the opinion that nowadays the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer is a mitzvah midrabanan. It's a mitzvah midrabanan. It's no longer a mitzvah midoraisa. The Rambam very famously disagrees. The Rambam, in the end of the seventh parak of Hilchos Tmidim Musafin, insists that no, the mitzvah Sfiras HaOmer is as it always was. It's a mitzvah midoraisa. What's the logic? So offhand, we would assume that the Rambam's logic is straightforward. It's a pasuk in the Torah, right? I said this week's Sedra. Why should it be any different today? The mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer doesn't involve bringing a korban. It doesn't involve any activity that is based on mikdash oriented. So why should we assume that the mitzvah has changed its status today from the time of the Beis HaMikdash? It was a mitzvah d'oraisa. So it's still a mitzvah d'oraisa today. Why should we assume that the mitzvah is any different today than it was at any other time in history? And therefore, the Rambam is pretty clear that the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer is a mitzvah d'oraisa today. His language is mitzvah saseh, lispar sheva, shabbos, tmimus, etc. It's a mitzvah saseh to begin counting on the 16th of Nisan, which is the second day of Pesach, and so on. And therefore, the Rambam and others assume that it's a mitzvah d'oraisa today, as I said, because that's the simple reading of the psukim. On the other hand, the Balei Tosfos and many others disagree with the Rambam. They hold it's only mitzvah d'rabbanan. But wait a second, it's still a pasuk in the Torah. What do they do with the pasuk in the Torah? So obviously they read the pasuk again. It's in this week's Sedra that it says, "Usfartem lachem imachas haShabbos miyom haviyachem es Omer hatenufa." You begin counting the Sirius Omer on the day on which you bring this carbon, the second day of Pesach. As I mentioned before, there was a carbon called the carbon Omer, which was from the new grain offering, a new grain crop from that spring. Pesach, of course, is in the springtime, and that's when things begin to grow, and therefore barley and everything else grows, and so you had to bring on the second day of Pesach, the first day of Chol HaMoed Pesach, outside of in Eretz Yisrael, Midoraisa, there only is one day at the Yontif at the beginning of Pesach, so on the second day of Pesach, the first day of Chol HaMoed Pesach, you had to bring this carbon known as the carbon Omer, because it had an Omer's worth of barley in the Mincha part of it, and that's the day on which you begin Sirus Omer. So according to these Rishonim, it would seem there is linkage between the carbon and the Mitzvah Sirus Omer. Mitzvah Sirus Omer is linked, and in many Gemaras, it's linked to the bring of the carbon Omer. Therefore, there are those who shown were of the opinion that, well, since there's no carbon Omer today, we cannot speak of a mitzvah serious Omer, because the mitzvah serious Omer is a function or extension or part of or related to the mitzvah of bringing the carbon Omer. So since there's no more today, no longer any carbon Omer to speak of, therefore today, what can we do? We cannot do the mitzvah serious Omer on a Doraisa level anymore. So it's a Dorabanan, a Zeichel HaMikdash. We remember, as we do in other circumstances, we recall what used to be done in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore that's the position of this group of Rishonim, that the mitzvah Sirus Omer is linked to the carbon. There's no carbon. The Rambam obviously has to deal with the same pasuk. The Rambam will tell us that when the pasuk says begin counting the Omer miyom haviyachem es Omer atenufa, doesn't mean to link the mitzvah Sirus Omer with the carbon. Actually, just it's the same day. It's like a marker telling you when do you begin Sirus Omer on the same day that you bring the carbon. Telling you what day. It was a fancy way of saying on the 16th of Nisan. So there still is a 16th of Nisan today. Okay, there's a 16th of Nisan today even without the Beis HaMikdash. So instead of saying in the pasuk that you begin counting Sirus Omer on the 16th of Nisan, the second day of Pesach, it says the day you bring the carbon. But doesn't mean to link the carbon with the mitzvah, and therefore the mitzvah is in full force, the oraisa, even nowadays, even in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash. That's how we assume. That's how many assume the machlokas between the Rambam and the other Rishonim is. The machlokas is, according to the Rambam, the pasuk is simply telling you, how do you identify the day? You identify the day because that's the day you brought this carbon. But doesn't mean that it's linked to the mitzvah. It's just a marker as to what day it is. The other Rishonim say, no, that it's linked. This is the way many people learn it. Learn the machlokas. And as I said before, that could be the machlokas in the Gemara. We'll come back to that. Like one opinion, Amemar said, it's Zeichel HaMikdash, right? And the other opinion disagree. Maybe hold it's not a Zeichel HaMikdash. We'll come back to the Gemara. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, the Rav Zichron Baruch Hu, Rav Yashabia Soloveitchik Zichron Baruch Hu, said the name of Rav Chaim, a different interpretation, a different understanding of this machlokas. Because Rav Chaim wondered, one second, you mean to tell me that what causes or what generates the obligation of the mitzvah of Sirus Omer is the bringing of the carbon? So let's say it happened in a particular year, and who knows, maybe it did happen, in a particular time in the Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash was standing. They were unable to bring the carbon Omer. Maybe there was a storm, maybe there was some other issue, maybe there was, the Beis HaMikdash was under some siege or whatever. You can concoct whatever scenario you want. Maybe there's some onus, some extreme circumstance that they were not able in a particular year to bring the carbon Omer on the second day of Pesach. So Chaim said, you mean to tell me that according to that group of Rishonim, the mitzvah of that year of Sirus HaOmer was only the Rabbanan? Would not have been in effect, because according to these Rishonim, we just explained, not like the Rambam, we just explained that according to these Rishonim, the mitzvah of Sirus Omer is linked to the mitzvah of bringing the carbon Omer. So you mean to tell me, you suggest to Chaim, that if in a particular year they couldn't bring the carbon Omer, so therefore they also didn't have to do the mitzvah of Sirus Omer? That's very difficult to say. And he felt that that's not possible. I guess one could answer, yeah, I guess not. But that's a little hard to say that it's so connected to the carbon Omer that they couldn't bring the carbon Omer, even when the Beis HaMikdash was standing for some technical reason, they couldn't bring the carbon Omer. So therefore, they couldn't do the mitzvah Sirus Omer. The Rav thought, Rav Chaim thought that was not plausible. And therefore, Rav Chaim said, actually, what these Rishonim hold is what generate, and even the Rambam will agree, that in fact, you cannot ignore the linkage. The Pasuk knew very well how to say, begin counting Sirus Omer on the second day of Pesach, or on, which it does actually say at the beginning of the Pasuk, Shabbos. Tell me, on the 16th of Nisan, this seven, in the first month, on the 16th day, spell it out. What do you have to link it to the carbon? Why mention miyom haviyachem es omer tenufa? So Reb Chaim thought that even according to Rambam, there seems to be some sort of linkage to the carbon. And so what the Rav suggested, or the name of Reb Chaim, he said the name of Reb Chaim, what generates the obligation of Siris Omer is the obligation, the chova, the obligation to bring the carbon Omer. The chiyuv, the chovas, hakrovas, carbon Omer, that's what generated the obligation. So as long as there is a chiyuv in place, then you have to count the mitzvah Siris Omer. Therefore, in the scenario we just presented, if in the days of the Beis Hamikdash, due to some technicality, they couldn't bring the carbon Omer that particular year, there was a storm, there was whatever happened, but there was still a chiyuv. So the chiyuv, the obligation to bring the carbon Omer, that's what generates the mitzvah Siris Omer. So in that scenario, absolutely, there was a mitzvah Siris Omer. Doraisa, they couldn't bring the carbon Omer because of some problem. Okay, but the chiyuv was still in place. So as long as the chiyuv, as long as the obligation is in place, then the mitzvah Siris Omer remains in place. What about today? So the Reb Chaim suggested that maybe that this goes back to that machlokas of what is the status of the mikdash and Eretz Yisrael as well, but the status of the mikdash and Akrovas carbon today. Okay, we know there's a famous machlokas whether the kedusha, whether the sanctity which was established in Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim and the Beis Hamikdash is a big discussion, which is far more than we have time for now. But was that l'shaita or l'asid level? Meaning, was that only temporary or was that in place la'asid level? Does the kedusha of the mikdash, because that's what we're talking about right now, it impacts other things too. But does the kedusha of the mikdash, that sanctity of the Beis HaMikdash, does that remain, did that, the sanctity of that place remain in effect, remain pertinent, even in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash, even la'asid level or not? Some of you may be aware that that's a contemporary question. Are Jews allowed to go up today onto the Har HaBayis? Are they allowed to go up onto the Har HaBayis today? That's a big discussion. I'm not weighing in on that issue, but part of what that revolves around is there still Kedusha to the place today? There's obviously no Beis HaMikdash. There's a mosque in the way. There's no Beis HaMikdash there now. Okay, but does the place continue to have its Kedusha or not? That's the that's part of that question, whether the Jews can go up there or not. If you assume that the place still has Kedusha, so perhaps we shouldn't go up because we don't know exactly which place is what. What's the Kodesh? What's the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Others, of course, say no. Certain things we do know, but you have to go to the mikveh first. All kinds of details, and I'm sure some of you have heard this the topic discussed before. But part of the issue is, and it's a machlokas, the Ram and the Rabbit and other Rishonim, whether the Kedusha of the Mikdash is Kedusha La'asid Lavo as well, or was only then. So if you hold that it's Kedusha La'asid Lavo, okay, I'm sorry, let's still go the other way first. Let's assume it was only Kedusha L'shaitu, so the Kedusha is gone. If the Kedusha is gone, so then you cannot speak of there being Chiyuv to bring a carbon today. There's no Chiyuv to bring a carbon today. You can't, there's no obligation with your carbon. Where? What? There's no Kedusha to the place anymore. Memela, according to this group of Rishonim, will hold the Kitcha L'shaita, but low Kitcha L'asid level, so there's no Chiyuv to bring a carbon. If there's no Chiyuv to bring any carbon, you can't bring the carbon Omer. There's no obligation. And the way Chaim just said it, what generates the mitzvah, Siris HaOmer, on a Doraisa level, on a biblical level, is the Chiyuv to bring the carbon. If there's no Kedusha, there's no Chiyuv, and therefore, the mitzvah at best is a mitzvah derabanan nowadays. But the Rambam himself happens to hold that kidsha la'asid lavo, that the kedusha of the mikdash remains even today. Okay, the Rambam, so to speak, l'shitaso, okay, the Rambam paskin that the kedusha of the mikdash is permanent. He says, Shechina ein betela is his language. It's a place of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's never batel. That's never nullified. Memela, the Kedusha is still there. If the Kedusha is still there, so then, technically speaking, there is a chiv upon us, even today, to bring the carbon Omer. There's no Mizbeach. We can't bring it. There are other issues. Okay, even though technically we have a concept called Makriven Afopisha ein Shom Bayis. You could actually, technically, if you know where to put the Mizbeach and so on, even if you didn't have the walls, you could bring a carbon. So the chiv is still in force. The chiyuv is still in force. We just can't go ahead and do it. But as long as the chiyuv is in force, so then in that case, the Rambam could agree that what generates the obligation of Siris HaOmer on a Torah level, Midoraisa, is the obligation to bring the carbon, which according to this approach is still in effect because Kiddushah Elas Elava, the Kiddushah is still there. And Mela suggests that's why the Rambam will hold that the mitzvah Sfiras Omer remained Midoraisa today. So it's a different angle as to why, again, we had Machlokas, we've shown him whether the mitzvah Sfiras Omer is the Raisa Rabbana today. The usual simple reading is does it depends upon the bringing of the carbon. Reb Chaim added this twist. Just as a side point, you know, many people have the practice to say before Sfiras Omer, a little here in Muchan Zuman, you know, and we say Kemosha Kosuba Torah, and they quote the Psukim. I'm not telling people to say it or not to say it. It's printed in the Siddurim, and you know, whatever your minig is fine. But that would seem to indicate maybe that it's Doraisa, because we're quoting a Pasuk. Once we're quoting the Pasuk in this week's Sedra, once we're quoting a Pasuk, then maybe we're lining up with those who hold that it's Doraisa. On the other hand, others will answer, well, it says Kemosha Kosuba Torah, like it says in Torah, but it's only Darbana. Okay, just as an interesting little side point. Now, this is... So that's one point I wanted to mention today in this regard. But there is something else I think also that's interesting. But I should just mention for the sake of completion, there is a third shita. As I said before, some are shown in the Rambam and others hold Sfiras Omer today is Doraisa. The Balei Tosis, the Rambam and many other hold Sfiras Omer today is only Drabana. There is a kind of a middle shita, so to speak. How do you have a middle shita? There's always a middle shita. Rabbeinu Yerucham. It's one of the Rishonim. Rabbeinu Yerucham was a Talmud of the Rosh. Rabbeinu Yerucham says that Bizman Hazeh, counting the days is Doraisa, but counting the week is Dorabana. So that's kind of a middle shita. Because he says, you look at the Psukim carefully, counting the days is Midoraisa, because that's, you look in the Pasuk, and the way the Pasuk reads, that's separated from the carbon, and the weeks is more connected to the carbon. Okay, let's just make aware of that shita. But in any event, what I wanted to look at now was this other point relating to the Zecher LeMikdash. I mentioned before that maybe that machlokas that we just presented between the Rambam and others, maybe that's the machlokas in the Gemara there in Menachas Samach Vav Aleph, Amemar Mani Yomer Velo Mani Shua, Amemar only counted the days but not the weeks. He said it's just a Zecher LeMikdash, okay? As opposed to the Ravon and the Beravashi who counted everything, maybe that they hold this Doraisa. But clearly, the Rishonim who assumed that it's Darabonan would prefer to argue that that's not the Machlokas of the Gemara. They hold it's only Darabonan, Zecher LeMikdash, everyone's going to What then is going to be the machlokas? Again, we have two opinions in the Gemara, whether you're supposed to count only the days, that was Amemar's practice, because it's just a Zecher LeMikdash. And the other opinion is, no, you count the days and the weeks. So again, on a simple level, we could say that really, no. And by the way, Rove Rishonim, most Rishonim assume it's the Rabbanan against the Rambam. And so they would prefer to line up both Shitas in the Gemara in accordance with their view that it's a the Rabbanan even today. It's a Zecher LeMikdash. What then is the Machlokas? So Pashtus would be that Amemar says, listen, it's a Zecher LeMikdash, and therefore, we don't have to be as machbit about it as we otherwise would. The days of the Torah. And the other opinion, oh, we agree with you. It's a Drabbanan, but we have a principle called the Tikkun Rabbanan. Came Doraisa Tikkun. When the Rabbanan instituted something, they made it match the Torah. So therefore, we should do it the same way they did. That's on a simple level what that machlokas is about. However, it's possible to understand a little bit differently, okay, on that machlokas as well. When we have something which is a Zecher LeMikdash, that's an interesting question. When we have something that's observed as a Zecher LeMikdash, when we do something as a Zecher LeMikdash, does that mean we should do it exactly the way it was done in the days of the Beis HaMikdash? Or are we obligated to do it? Zecher LeMikdash means to do everything the way they did it. Okay. For example, you know, there's another Zecher LeMikdash that we do. We don't even think of it as such, but it's true that it's a Zecher LeMikdash, and that is that on Sukkis we take the lulav and esrog all week. You look in the Torah, again, in this week's Sedra, it says, U'lekachtam lochem b'yom harishon. The only obligation of Lulav and Esrog, the Arba Minim, is on the first day of Sukkot. Sitting in the Sukkah, that's the whole week, but Sukkot takes the Shivas Yomim. Now, that mitzvah of Sukkot applies the whole week of Sukkot. But waving the Lulav and Esrog is applicable only on the first day of Sukkot. By the way, Moshul Mo'ad Dovedomer, like Matzah on Pesach, the obligation to eat Matzah is only the first day, actually, the first night of Pesach. There's no obligation to eat Matzah the rest of the week. Could be that we fulfill a mitzvah, but in terms of an actual obligation, that's why, by the way, when we eat Matzah the rest of the week, we don't make a bracha, asher kiddushan, and so it's on a alakilas Matzah. You make hamotzi because you're eating, but you don't say alakilas Matzah. Only at the Seder, you say alakilas Matzah. So you can't eat chametz, that's the whole week. But you don't have to eat matzah, technically. You could have potatoes, more potatoes. But you don't necessarily have to have matzah the rest of the week. So it could have the Vilna Gaon, it's really well before the Vilna Gaon, but it's identified with the Vilna Gaon. He held there's a kiyum, you know, to eat matzah. But the mitzvah is only on Pesach night. So too, on a Torah level, again, the Pesukim in this week said, you can follow them yourselves. It says, L'kachtem lochem, b'yom harishon priyei tadav kapos tmorim v'anaf, it's of its arvei nachal. You take the arba minim, it's on the first day of Sukkot. However, based on that same pasuk, it says, "Usmachtem lifnei Hashem Elokechem shivas yamim." In the Beis Hamikdash, they took the arba minim all 7 days. Lifnei Hashem, that's the makom hamikdash, the place where you lifnei Hashem. Then it's shivas yamim. The same pasuk. Then the mitzvah is in fact for 7 days. So the Mishnah tells us that after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai went ahead to institute that we, even living outside the Beis HaMikdash and far away from the Beis HaMikdash, should still take the Lulav and the Esrog all 7 days of Sukkot, leaving out Shabbos, but all 7 days of Sukkot, because it's a Zecher HaMikdash. However, just because it's a Zecher HaMikdash doesn't mean we have to do it the exact same way it was done in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, in fact, there's discussions, but certain things which would disqualify the Arba Minim, this is pointed out by Rebbe Soloveitchik, the Biskirov, okay, he noted that there are certain things which would disqualify a Lulav and Esrog in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, which don't disqualify a Lulav and Esrog the rest of the week in, you know, when we do it Zecher HaMikdash. So my point is, you don't have to do everything exactly the same way when it's being done as Zecher HaMikdash. This could actually be a machlokas, however. Okay, it's a very interesting Gemara, which is the mukkar for a practice that we have, of course, at the Seder. We know Kadesh or Chatz, right? The second thing is Or Chatz. We wash our hands. And as all the children will say, we wash without the bracha, right? We go, we wash, we don't make Halal Til Sadaim. Right before dipping the karpas, we wash Kadesh or Chatz. Okay, now we should be aware of the fact, it's actually Gemara Pesachim Kuftes Vav and Aleph, that relates this to a general practice. That's not a Seder practice. That's a general machlokes. We know you have to wash until Sadaim before eating bread. Okay, correct. Wash until Sadaim before eating bread. But actually the Gemara discusses washing not only before eating bread, but eating anything that is dipped in liquid. So if you dip your salad into some kind of a dressing or fruit into liquid, you have what they call that fancy display, like have a crudité, you know, that's set up. Okay, people remember when we used to have chasnas bar mitzvahs, we could attend, so we would see crudité sometimes set up, right? And Mitzvah will be able to attend them again soon. But you'd have that like a dip. You have the vegetables, you take the thing, you dip it into a dip, so you have to wash for that. Now, there's a machlokas, whether that still applies today. I don't want to go into all the details of that machlokas right now, but that's a question whether it applies today. And we assume as a general rule, most paskin that we don't have to, not only don't make a bracha today, if you wash, you don't even have to wash what's called dovar shetibulo b'mashke, something which you're dipping into liquid. You don't have to wash it, and certainly don't have to make a bracha. Some of you may remember, you've seen in your Haggadah, some of the kids point out, Kadesh or Chatz, we now wash without a bracha, but the Vilna Gaon said you make a bracha. The Vilna Gaon said, the Groa held you make a bracha. But the Vilna held you make a bracha, not because of Pesach. He held in general. He paskin the other way. He held whenever you dip vegetables in liquid, even bisman hazeh, you have to make a bracha. So the Taz in Hilchos Pesach wonders, he says, 1 second. Why do we paskin when it comes to the Seder that you have to dip, you dip the karpas into the salt water, about to dip the karpas, you have to wash first? Says the Taz, manish tana halayla hazeh. Why is this night different than all nights? Other nights when we have liquids or vegetables dipped in liquids, we don't wash. And he says, Take, you probably should. According to this view, you probably should. Not with a bracha, but you probably should. The Taz wonders why all of a sudden Pesach night, everybody comes from, quote, unquote, and Pesach night, everybody washes before dipping the carpets into liquid, but we don't do that all year round. The Taz says, Take, you probably should do it all year round. Okay, that's the Taz. And others disagree and say, no, we don't really do it. We only do it to the typical Pesach night answers. We do it so the kids should ask questions and so on. But the Netziv, Naftali, Hershleber, Naftali Tzvihuda Berlin, has a Haggadah called Imre Shefer. An introduction to his Haggadah, he mentions a couple of practices that we have that we do at the Seder as a Zecher LaMikdash. In fact, he says that's why many people have the minhag to wear a kittel at the Seder. Many times the head of the household, the man, whoever it is, wear kittel at the Seder. What's it got to do with the Seder? So in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, when you ate meat from a korban, you wore a special garment. you dressed up, you're in the Beis Hamikdash, you're eating carbon, not only Pesach, but other times. So we wear special garments. He said that's what we wear, kittel, at the Seder. Those people have that particular minig. And the one thing that Tziv mentions is this idea of washes. You know why you wash for karpas? We don't generally pass any wash for dipping vegetables, but it's a zechel hamikdash. It's a zechel hamikdash, right? In the days of the Beis Hamikdash, that law was certainly in effect when they kept all the laws of Tumah and Tahara, ritual purity and impurity. So all those laws were fully in effect. So then everybody washed when they dipped the vegetables into liquid anytime. We don't have that today because we don't observe most of these laws of Tumah and Tahara today anymore. So therefore, we don't have to do it all year long. But on Pesach night, we're trying to do a zechel hamikdash. We're trying to replicate what they did. But at the end of the day, one could argue, okay, that actually we don't have to. We don't make a bracha. We don't do it exactly the same way. So this may be the machlokas in our Gemara, whether you have to do things exactly the same way. This is pointed out in the Sefer Mikrei Kodesh with T. Pesach Frank in one of the essays on Pesach. In a footnote, the son of Rabbi Yosef Cohen points this out, and he connects the practice of Netilas Yadayim for dipping something to the same machlokas we just had regarding counting both days and weeks or only days with regard to Sefiras Homer. He makes his link. It's not my own original idea. But I do want to just mention something else fascinating that Rav Soloveitchik pointed out in this regard. It's a very, very strange statement. Let's think about it for a moment. The Gemara Menachos Samach Vav Med Aleph. Amemar counted the days of the week, and but he didn't count the weeks when he was the Tzuras Omer. And the other opinion is, no, you mention everything. And Amemar gave a reason. It's only a Zeichel HaMikdash. It's only a Zeichel HaMikdash. Is it so difficult? It takes an extra second and a half to mention the week. So, I mean, if you're telling me it's a whole involved activity, so I understand that maybe you're telling me, you know what, it's a zecher lemikdash, it's only drabanan, so just count the weeks. But what's the big tircha? I mean, it doesn't strike you as such an important or such an intrusion. Oh, yeah, yeah, I have to count the weeks also. You know, good, it's only a zecher lemikdash. Why would he mention that? So it's interesting, because there is a fascinating question that the Baal HaMor asks in his last piece in Maseches Pesachim, the very end of his comment on the Rif from Pesachim. He asks three important questions. One, Be'ez Hashem, we'll talk about the next week. But one of the questions he asks is, why on the first night of Pesach, a famous question, do we not begin the Mitzvah Siras HaOmer with the Brach of Shechayonu? Not a bad question. Right. Generally speaking, when we perform a mitzvah for the first time after not having done so in a long while, the first night we say Shechayonu. Right? We say a Shechayonu. When the first night of Chanukah, we bench Chanukah licht, even if it's only Drabanan, by the way. Even only because Chanukah, clearly, lighting Chanukah is also only Drabanan. But when we light Chanukah candles the first night, we say Shechayonu after the other two brachas. By Purim in the Megillah, we say Shechayonu, and certainly on the Deraisa, the first time we bench Esrog, Levin Esrog, we say Shechayonu, and then Tekiah Shofar, we say Shechayonu. So the Baal HaMor wonders, why do we not say the Brach of Shechayonu the first night of Sefiras HaOmer? Right? That's a good question. So his, and then the answers, but his answer is that Shechayonu is a Bracha which is recited at a time when we're excited about the opportunity to do this mitzvah. Oh, this wonderful mitzvah has reappeared, come back, the season has turned around, we've come back to the time of year, we have the opportunity to do this terrific mitzvah. But he says, you know, the mitzvah of Sefiras HaOmer, in a certain sense, is a depressing mitzvah. It makes us sad. Why? Because the very formula, it reminds us of the Beis HaMikdash, and hence of the fact that we no longer have the Beis HaMikdash. This is a mitzvah in the language of the Baal HaMor. He says it's l'davo nafshenu, it's agmas nafshenu. It's like reminding us, like sticking our face in the mud. You know, to remind us, oh, there's no Beis HaMikdash. Because what do we say? We say this and this is such a number of days. Tonight is such a number of days of the Omer. Of the what? Of the, oh yeah, that carbon we used to bring, we can't bring it now, right? It reminds us of the absence of the Beis HaMikdash, more so than many other mitzvahs, right? I mean, all the mitzvahs were grander than the Beis HaMikdash, but Tekiah Shofar, it doesn't connect us particularly to the Beis HaMikdash. But Sefiras HaOmer comes and reminds us there's no Beis HaMikdash anymore, right? We say, and by the way, that's the Baal HaTosfos point out as a side point. That's why we have the minig, and I think it's pretty widely observed that right after counting the Omer, so some people say various other paragraphs, I'll be Kabbalah, but almost as far as everybody says, Harachamanu Yachzir Lano Navodas Beis Hamikdash from Kol Meher Menam and Stella. And some people also say Yiratzon Shebana Beis Hamikdash, etc. Beautiful tefillah. How come we don't say that when we put on our tefillin? We don't say that till we eat the matzah, and you could say that anytime. Right? How come Dafka by Sfiras HaOmer, we mention this little phrase right after performing the mitzvah? I'm not talking about the Kabbalistic paragraphs that we say afterwards. I'm talking about that little phrase that's even printed on the sheets that you get in the mail. Why do you say that he writes on the Baal HaTosfos point this out? That's our minik. Because Dafka Sfiras HaOmer reminds it that there is no Beis HaMikdash. And so, right after performing the mitzvah, we say that little hiratzon that we should have the opportunity to enjoy the avodah of the Beis HaMikdash being restored, binyan Beis HaMikdash again. Because this mitzvah, like the Baal HaMor says, reminds us of the absence of the Beis HaMikdash. In fact, some people have the practice, and you know, again, we're not doing it necessarily publicly right now, but some people have the practice that when the very tune used by the rabbi, the chazan, when he counts the Omer, is sort of in a minor key. You know, like a sort of like a minor key, right? It's not a chiffle tune. I'm not saying you have to do it that way. I'm not making a big deal about it. But at the end of the day, says the Baal HaMor, this mitzvah reminds us of the fact that there's no Beis HaMikdash. Consequently, that being the case, says the Baal HaMor, we're not so thrilled that this has come around again. So we don't say, shall we do the mitzvah, of course, but we don't say a Shechinah. That's the opinion of the Baal HaMor. Now, based on this idea, Rav Soloveitchik said the following. You know, there are two different types of ways that we remember the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, there are different ways to remember the Beis HaMikdash. Sometimes we remember the Beis HaMikdash by trying to replicate that which they did in the Beis HaMikdash. And Taka do it exactly, almost exactly. Okay, and the Rav said, different than what we said earlier, Netilas Lulav during the course of the week, all right, there's some technical differences, maybe according to some, it's a big machlokes, but during the Netilas Lulav is to do what they did in the Mikdash. In the Mikdash, they took the Lulav all week, so we take the Lulav all week. And the other, we have even, we say in the Seder, Zecher LeMikdash KeHillel, right, we eat the Korech sandwich, right, the Matzah Martel, we do exactly what Hillel says, Kain also Hillel, right, we do what Hillel, we want to replicate what was done in the Beis HaMikdash. Another way to remember the Beis HaMikdash is by not doing certain things. Many people remember. The Gemara says, you know, you're not supposed to paint. When you paint your house, you leave a little section not nicely painted, a little area maybe by the door, not nicely painted, right? We want to do things that remember things that we can't do, or we want to take note by abstaining from certain activities. Right, there's two different types of Zecher LeMikdash. The Rav pointed out, actually, they learn from two different psukim. Because when the Gemara asks regarding Lulav all week long, the Gemara asks, where do we get that from, that we should remember the Mikdash? How do you get it? They quote a pasuk, Tzion Hidorish Einla. Right? The Tzion, nobody thinks about Tzion, so we learn you're supposed to think about it. But that's the Gemara in Sukkah, okay, and Daf Membeis. But the Gemara in the end of the third parak of Bava Basra, Daf Samach, which talks about things which people have refrained from doing. Like, for example, we don't have the full celebration even at a wedding, right? We don't let the bride and groom wear special crowns or wreaths. And so certain things we abstain from. There, the Gemara quotes a different pasuk. Yimesh kachech Yerushalayim tishkach yimini, right? The pasuk in Tilim. We don't want to forget about Yerushalayim. Why do we need two different psukim? So the Rav Soloveitchik said, and with this we'll finish, Rav Soloveitchik said, I'll tell you why. Because there are two different types of ways we remember the Beis HaMikdash, as I said before. Sometimes we recall the Beis HaMikdash by trying as best as we can to do exactly what they did. Lulav kol shiva, eating the sandwich like Hillel, kenos a Hillel b'zman shel Beis HaMikdash erkayim. Other things that we try and do the way the Beis HaMikdash, maybe they marching around with the little the Hoshanis and so on and so forth. But other times we definitely want to show that we can't do what they did in the Beis HaMikdash. That same Gemara in Bava Basra talks about that people wanted to stop eating meat because how can you eat meat? There's no more korbanos. The way they want to drink wine, how can you drink wine? We don't accept the halach except during the 9 days. That's probably the source for not doing the 9 days. But that's a different type of Zecher HaMikdash. Coming back to our question, Rav Soloveitchik thought that's what's going on here in this Gemara. When Amemar said the mitzvah Sfiras HaOmer is a Zecher HaMikdash, and that's why I want to count the days, not the weeks. It wasn't because it's such a big deal to count the weeks. It's not. But he wanted to remember the Mikdash by Dafka doing the mitzvah, not the way they did it in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. And it's that kind of Zecher HaMikdash suggested Rav explaining the sheet of Amemar. Amemar money yom v'lo money shua, right? He asked the question, what is such a big deal? You know, to count the days? No, it's not that he thought it was a big deal to count the days along with the weeks. No, he Dafka wanted to do the mitzvah in a manner that was not the way they did in the Beis HaMikdash. So consequently, That's what motivated this takana. Therefore, said Amema, we're going to count differently today. And the others who could agree, the other chachamim, that gemara, who could agree with him that it's a zecher lemikdash, perhaps understood, no, this is the other type of zecher lemikdash. This is the type of zecher lemikdash where we try and replicate and do exactly as the way they did it. Suggested the Rav, maybe that's a little bit the machlokas over here, but certainly based on the Baal HaMor, we mentioned that there's certain sadness, as it were, to Siris HaOmer. So maybe that's what motivated Amemar to say, you know, I'm not even going to do the mitzvah the way they did it in those days. I'm going to leave something out to show as if we're missing something. Like that Gemara Baba Basra says, you know, you leave something off the table, you leave a little food off, the different things that the Gemara said to remember the Beis HaMikdash. Lamaisa, whichever way we paskin, as I said before, our minig is, we paskin that you count the days and the weeks, but as I said, as the Balai Tosas point out, and Megillah and others pointed out, we have a little tefillah, we ask the Kaddish Baruch Hu to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. We dafka say this tefillah in conjunction with Siris HaOmer, because maybe now we note the absence even stronger than we do, even in a stronger fashion than we do by other mitzvahs, and therefore we ask the Kaddish Baruch Hu to build the Beis HaMikdash as quickly as possible, and then we'll be able to fulfill the mitzvah completely according to all the days that we mentioned here today, motivated by the Korban Omer and the full days, the full weeks, and it should happen. Bez Hashem Bekarov. Thank you for listening, and I hope everyone has a wonderful day.